Blog Talk Radio.
The beginning is not just for the young. It appears that I've been saying that for so long that, and I pray that that becomes a part of our attitude in life. Amen? That becomes a part of our attitude in life. We are moving forward. We thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we are at Blog Talk Radio. What does that mean? That means we're an interactive Bible study, and we come together every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we come together for the purpose of the body of Christ. Amen. We come together for the purpose of the body of Christ, for the body of Christ. Amen. With Jesus Christ being the head. We interactive, meaning that those of you that are listening by the internet, you have an opportunity to call in, and you can participate with our discussion as we move forward. You can call the number 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, then we will put you in. I would like to also mention that sometimes we have our brothers and sisters that will call in, and we can hear everything in the background. So we ask you that when you call in, make sure that you mute your phone or whatever else you're using to communicate through this blog radio, amen, because we can hear everything in the background, amen. As we move forward, we're going to have prayer. After we prayer, then we're going to dive into the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And our topic this evening is standing firm in the Lord brings joy to Christians. Standing firm in the Lord brings joy to Christians. Amen. Father, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give us clarity as we move forward in your Word, Heavenly Father, as we feed up your Word, Heavenly Father, that you would just fill us, Heavenly Father, with understanding, Heavenly Father. You said in all things that we should have understanding. And so we're asking, Heavenly Father, that you would give our minds clarity to be able to reveal the revelation of what the Word has to say to us today. Lord, we come together in unity, we come together in spirit, and we come together, Heavenly Father, out of love. Lord, we bless those, and I ask you bless those who are sick and sick and afflicted, Father. Bless those, Heavenly Father, who are lacking anything in their life, Father. We come together corporately, not on just this end, Heavenly Father, but from all ends of the corners of the earth, Heavenly Father, praying for those that stand in the need of prayer. Do we need prayer? Yes, we do, Father, but we pray for those, for others first. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. And we are coming together. Our topic again is standing firm in the Lord brings joy to Christians. And I'm going to be coming from a couple of different scriptures, but we're going to start off in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and that would be 4:1-2. Philippians 4:1-2. We give you an opportunity to open up your Bibles or your go through your phone app or whatever you're using. But we are giving you an opportunity to do that. Okay. Philippians 4:1-2. And it states, the word says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Two, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Thyatira to agree in the Lord. And I'm looking at this, and for some reason it appears that I am pronouncing it wrong. Thyatira, amen? Thyatira. Thyatira. I entreat Euodia and entreat Thyatira to agree in the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. That is the first part we're going to start off of. And as we look at the first part, and I am going to be opening up the mic for a dialogue as we go forward, as we move forward in the name of the Lord. In this part, Paul, it says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for and joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. And he says, states, dear friends, and for those of you who's reading, your Bible, I am coming from the ESV. Amen? That's the English Standard Version. I'm coming from the English Standard Version. Amen. And Paul changed his tone in the verse, you know, and what he did from previous passages. And he's talking about an emotion as he argues in his epistle. And he also is speaking of the warmth of a dear friend. The warmth of a dear friend. Amen? And he also talks about exhortation. Exhortation. He's asking his readers that are reading the letter to make sure that you do not forget exhortation. So, and as we go through this, Paul made three statements about the church. He made three statements about the church. First, the members that he was talking to were brothers. It wasn't just anyone. They were brothers. Now, you have to keep in mind that during this time, Paul was incarcerated as he was writing his letters. Okay? He was incarcerated as he was writing his letters. And the first were, he was writing out letters to his brothers. And the term occurs frequently in Philippians, and he's talking about, when he says brothers, he's talking about a oneness that they had with each other. When we say brothers, when we say sisters, we are talking about a oneness that we have with each other. Amen? So if you are my brother, if you are my sister, wherever you are at this time, I am coming to you as a oneness. What does that mean as a oneness? That means a oneness in Christ. A oneness in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not like a physical brother. The difference is we are one in Christ. Amen. So, and so when he's talking about this, when he's talking about this, for those of you that just tuned in, we are coming from Philippians 1 and 2, and we'll be moving on further down into John. Amen. So he's talking about his brothers. You know, they are members who he is writing his letter to express a oneness with each other. And the second part he's stating about, he says, whom I love and long for. Whom I love and long for. Now, this term, when we think of it, when we hear the word long for, that occurs only in the New Testament. It occurs only in the New Testament. And Paul is speaking of his desire to fellowship together. He's talking about his desire to fellowship together. Amen? And just because you are a Christian brother or a Christian sister does not guarantee that Paul would feel the same way about this. Amen? So there were certain brothers and sisters that there was a special relationship that he had with them. Amen? And that relationship grew out of their fellowship in the gospel. Now, I want to stop there and just say the fellowship in the gospel. And I want to, I would like to appeal to your hearts at this moment in time. Have you ever noticed that those that you fellowship on a daily basis with in the Word of God, those that you fellowship with on a daily basis or on a regular or consistent basis, you know, and I'm appealing to you now to think about this, there's something about fellowshipping in the Word of God that makes you feel like you're closer than others. Why? Because when you come together, you're coming together on one accord. Amen? And that one accord is Jesus Christ. And I want to move off topic for a minute. There was, and I remember years ago when I was a junior deacon at a family church, I had a cousin. In fact, there was a few cousins in the church, but we were one of the first two that chose to become junior deacon. Now, he and I, we did not fellowship together because we had differences of opinion on how we should conduct our lives. So the only time that we would see each other would be in church. Amen?
Amen.
The only time that we would see each other would be in church. But we did this for a couple of years. And for some unknown reason, I have a lot of family, a lot of cousins, and for some unknown reason, he and I felt like we had, to me, we had a closer relationship. Please mute your mic. Okay, I'm going to say okay, I think I found it. 863, I have a lot of numbers on it, but 863-5257, your mic is muted at this time. Okay, I did not give you the first three digits, but I'm just letting you know that your mic is muted, and when you would like to come on, just push the number one. Amen? So as I'm saying, as I go back to speaking of a family member, we were both deacons in church, junior deacons in church, because we sat together under the Word of God, we developed a spiritual relationship where we became closer than the rest of my family. And I began to start to realize that anyone who fellowships together under the Word of God, you develop a relationship with them. Amen. There's a relationship that you can't even speak of, that you can't even just share with others. It has to happen. So when Paul is speaking here, and he's talking about in terms of that, and he says here, just because they were Christians, it did not guarantee that Paul would feel the same way about them. Their relationship grew out of fellowship in the gospel. And that's why I went off topic just to talk about, just to share, that when we come together under the Word of God, spiritually we draw closer. Amen? We draw closer because of that. So that's why I wanted to kind of go off topic on that. Now, as I move further, third, Paul called them his joy and crown. He called them his joy and crown. And these words turned the reader's thoughts. He talked about the end of time. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the end of time. Now, joy is a common word in his letters. Amen? Joy is a common word in his letters. This is like almost as if the word joy is unique. And it was because of Paul's joy. His joy because of his relationship with those brothers and sisters that he wrote to that were standing firm in the Word of God. Amen? There was a relationship that they developed in the Word of God. So, and that was why Paul had so much joy, because there was brothers and sisters that he was writing to, and they developed a relationship because here he was incarcerated, and they were not, but yet through the letters they knew that there was a that they were standing firm in the Lord. They were standing firm in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So that brought joy even while he was awaiting trial. That brought him joy, even though he was incarcerated and awaiting trial. Amen? So what I'm saying is, further, the response of a gospel will bring joy. Let me go back even further. The response of joy will bring, the response of the gospel that we talk about in the gospel will bring joy on Judgment Day. And you're probably looking at me, you know, as my wife is, like, you know, what are you referring to? Could you explain that? Let me go back and say this. And I go back and say, that brought Paul joy while he was awaiting trial. Now, let me take this up even further. Because we are in the body of Christ, and because we are, God is our head, that on Judgment Day, and we talk about the end of time, the end of time, those who are in the Word of God, those who believe that God is ahead of their life, those that stand firm in the Word of God, I'm saying that we have joy, even knowing that there's going to be an end. Mm-hmm. As we await the end or Judgment Day, there's joy as we go through. It's almost like that term of saying there's hope for a tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is eternal life. Amen? There is life here, and then there's life in heaven. And we talk about in terms of, and I don't want to go all in there, we talk about in terms of there's a place for each and every one of us, a place that's not made by hands. Amen? So when we look at that, it's not made by hands, meaning that we have another home. So knowing that we have another home, we are now here in fear when Judgment Day comes. We are moving forward while we're here in this life, but there's joy on this side. Amen? So anyone that is not having joy, then we need to go back and evaluate our life. We need to go back and evaluate our relationship with Christ. Because no matter what we're going through, we should be going through it in joy. Paul says, we count it all joy. We count it all joy. So as we are awaiting the end of time, or we're waiting for Judgment Day, we are waiting with joy. And here I was just associating that Paul was waiting for his trial, but he was waiting in joy. He was not worried about how the trial was going to end or how it was going to turn out. He was incarcerated and waiting to go to jail, but he was waiting in joy. He was waiting in joy because he knew that he had other brothers and sisters who were standing firm as he was. Amen? So that's why, as I was thinking about this, I'm saying, what can my title be? And that's why I went with standing firm in the Lord brings joy to Christians.
Amen. Amen. When you know the Lord is your source and your supply, you can do that. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can know that regardless of what's happening around you, what's happening to you, or what people are trying to do to you, what's being said about you, and so forth and so on, that the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, is standing in Him, because He has your back.
Amen.
He promises to never, ever leave us or forsake us. And I don't want you to be in trial.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So the Philippians were believers. Those that he wrote to, the Philippians were believers. And because they were believers, that was Paul's crown. There were those out who was not incarcerated out there who were standing firm, and that was Paul's crown, knowing that there were other believers out there that were standing firm to their faith. Amen. Knowing that they were standing firm to their faith. And the fact that they believed guaranteed Paul's reward. He could wait incarcerated knowing, and just a feeling of knowing that whatever happened, that there were other believers who were standing firm. That was his reward. Amen? Open up the mic for any comments. Any comments? My question to you, and there is more that you know that I would like to share with you, but as I pause on this part, whatever for those of you that are listening by internet or wherever the case may be, what is your joy? Is it the joy of knowing that you serve Jesus Christ and knowing that whatever you go through, Jesus Christ is going to be right with you as you go through it. Mm-hmm. And if he's right with you as you're going through it, no matter how it may look, no matter how it may smell, no matter how it may taste, it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Standing firm in the Lord is what I'm saying is the outcome is always going to be victorious. And that's where this mindset is for this letter. Reminding them to stand firm. Those that are out there that I love who are standing firm, he's asking them, he's reminding them, he is telling them that they are to continue to have exhortation. This is almost like a letter of encouragement. It can even be considered as a letter of prayer for those who are standing firm. But just knowing that there are brothers and sisters out there who have not turned and looked the other way, who's not given up their faith, who has not given, turned in their faith because of what they were going through.
Amen.
Amen? It doesn't make a difference what we are going through if we stand firm on our faith. If we stand firm on our faith, then we're in the right place. We're on the right ground. Amen? Any comments? As we move on, Paul had urged them to remain steadfast. He urged them to remain steadfast.
Amen.
And through my studies, Paul wanted them to remain steadfast. And this language came from, if you remember, the Roman armies during that time, or the military, had a significant meaning for the city, amen, because the majority of the cities were military families, amen, and the Roman armies were known for standing unmoved against the enemy.
Amen.
And I'm thinking that Paul took this language because of what was going on there. He wanted the Christian body to have that same attitude, to be unmoved, no matter what the situations were. When the Roman armies were going against the enemy, they were unmoved. Amen? They didn't retreat. They stood their ground, and they fought their ground. And Roman armies, at that time, the military fans and the army, there was a very, very strong army. Amen? And I believe that Paul used this language because there were military families at that time. And when he was talking about in terms of standing firm, he was using that language because of that standing, to stand. Amen? And the question is, when he wrote that letter in terms of standing against your enemy, how would you stand? Now imagine that. We're an army. All of us are an army, and we're standing here as an army, the body of Christ, you and I. And we're standing. Are we standing with fear? always standing with the look of victory. Victory. So the question he just had of answer was, how would they stand? And he wanted them to stand victoriously. Amen?
Amen.
He wanted them to stand victoriously. When we constantly exhort God, when we constantly exhort God, when I mean constantly, I'm talking about morning, noon, and night, it becomes a part. If we become fixed.
Amen.
We become fixed. That means that we do it automatically. Amen? We do it automatically. And at this time, what Paul wanted, he did not want the church, he did not want it weakened by disunity. He did not want it weakened by disunity. He didn't want it weakened by any type of turmoil that was going on, confusion that was going on, any type of wrong value. Amen? If it was a stand, it was to accomplish not their will, but God's will. Amen? And that was the exhortation part that he was calling for. That was the importance of the church life. And one of the things that in my prayers is, and I'm going to open up the mic, one of the things in my prayer is that we as the body of Christ, as churches, should be standing together.
Amen.
That's good.
In unity. In unity. Standing firm in our faith. Because right now, if you look in terms of what's going on right now, you have to ask yourself, are we standing firm? Always standing victorious. Always stand fast, as Paul's epistles says. Always standing fast. Amen? Always standing victoriously as the body or as the church. And Paul did not want this unity. He did not want the churches to begin to start to break up. He wanted the churches to stay together in unity, to stand firm together in unity. Any
comment? That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Any comment?
That's good.
This is a reminder, because oftentimes, even in the body of Christ, people get hung on the past and are easily offended. And when Paul is telling us in this book that this is, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about
right.
life. It's about standing on the word. And as you said with your title, standing firm in the Lord, regardless of what what it may look like, or who may have offended you, that we're supposed to be like-minded in unity. And
speaking
the word. Amen. Amen. One love. One love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Paul did not want, the church to split up. He did not want the church to split up in unity because of any type of disagreements. And because he's saying that when there is disagreements within the church, there is a potential of splitting the church in two. Disagreements in the church, and I'm just reading for Paul, this is 4, 2, and 3, that when there's disagreements in the church, that it has potential of splitting into two groups. Amen? And Paul wanted his letter, his epistle, was to inform the churches to stand steadfast against the enemy. To inform his brothers and sisters in his letters to stand steadfast.
Amen.
Because he did not want disunity. And because many of them were standing in unity, this brought Paul joy. Now let me take it even further. Because the churches
are standing together today against the enemy, this brings Jesus Christ joy.
Amen. Amen.
But when God looks at the church, does he see two churches? Does he see one church or does he see two? Because there was a disagreement. All the churches are on one accord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like this.
And this is what the letter, Paul's letter, was. And that's why my title was Standing Firm in the Lord Brings Joy to Christians. When others see churches standing together in the Lord, it brings joy to those Christians who are watching. It brings joy to those Christians who are watching. And his letter is basically around the churches standing together in unity. Amen? Not two churches, but one church. Amen?
Amen.
Any comment? Any comment?
I like this, Elder John. Because we as Christians should stand together. I like what you said about the church being split. And if we don't stand together, when we're split like that, it weakens us. It weakens our force. There's strength in numbers. That's why God calls us the body of Christ, being one. He said, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. We're supposed to have the same mindset, the same goals. And if we are split up, like I said, it weakens us. It weakens us. And I just want to read a little bit out of the Message Bible. And Philippians 4:1. It says, My dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy. Fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track. Steady in God. Then it says, I urge those two names to iron, this is the part, to iron out their differences and make up.
Amen.
God doesn't want his children holding grudges.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, and that's a lot of us. We have issues, you know, just like you were saying before, Elder John, how you were a deacon and you and your cousin, y'all had differences. Y'all had differences. Mm-hmm. And when y'all came together, it was just in church.
Amen.
But God wants us in church, out of church, to be one. He says in the Bible, he says, even when we see each other, greet each other with a holy kiss.
Amen.
You know, have a joy to see my brother and my sister. Have that same joy. That same joy not only keeps us going, and it makes us, you know, jubilant, but it's what God expects out of us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Amen.
Hallelujah. And as I go on further to top off on that, you know, because my other part that I was going to share with is John, and was it 31 through 35. John 13, 31 through 35.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and here's the other flip side to this. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Let me say it again. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself, glorify him in himself.
Amen. And glorify him at once. And then he goes on to 33. He says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me just as I said to the Jews. So now also I say unto you. Isn't it almost like he's talking to us?
Amen.
And now also I say unto you,
amen,
where I am going, you cannot come. And here's the piece right here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, when I look at that, that tells me that how do we, if we have love one for another, then there is no disagreements. Now, hold it. Let me stop there. There's going to be disagreements. We still have love one for another. We're not going to split.
Right, because
we're
do
not
even
split because of disagreements. We have love for one another. And the piece here is, it says, God is glorified in him. God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the Spirit of Christ within us, if we're glorifying Christ, if we are glorifying Christ, then we may have disagreements, but it's only short term. We're not going to become offended or even walking away saying, you know what, I'm taking my people, and we're going to have a church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're starting another church.
We're going to start another church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And I'm just only speaking what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
We should love. The new commandment is I give to you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciple. By this, all people. Who are the all people? The all people are those who are not in Christ. The all people are those who are on the outside who are watching the church.
That's
by
right.
this, all people will know that you are my disciple. If you have, here's the caveat, if you have love one for another,
that's the word. Mm-hmm. Then they'll know that we are his disciples. Yeah, that's the word.
We cannot say that we are disciples of Christ.
That's right.
And we walk around and have heart for our brothers and sisters.
That's right. Amen.
We cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot have disagreements and go around and begin to start to tear up the church.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that.
That's right.
I mean, the Word says that. And when we begin to start to do that, anyone that does that, you're coming against God.
God says to mock those that do that very thing. You know, people are sometimes busybodies. You know, they gossip. Is it gossip or gospel are you speaking? Is it gossip or gospel? You know, we get caught up in so many different things and whatnot that we shouldn't even be in. Because that just weakens us even the more. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. While he's in the corner with his insidious ways, laughing at us. They don't know the big picture. They're too busy fighting amongst themselves when the big picture is about me and getting the word out there.
Amen. And I like how you use that in terms of the big picture. There's a bigger picture than what we're
doing. Yeah.
There's a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going through. And when Paul was writing his letter, you know, Paul was looking at the big picture. Amen? Paul was looking at the big picture. You know, he did not want people passing in disagreement. He did not want a splitting church into two. He didn't. That's what his was when he was incarcerated. Exalt God. When we exalt God, if we're exalting God, no, let me take it back even further. In John, where it talks about, it says here that now son of man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Let me just stop right there. Now, son of man glorified, and God is glorified in him. We're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is glorified in him. God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him in once. So when we have the Holy Spirit within us and we glorify God, then God takes us to another level.
Amen.
And when he takes us to another level, how can God, the Spirit of God, fight against the Spirit of God?
That's good.
How can it happen? How can it be? If God is glorified in us, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, how can the Holy Spirit fight against the Holy Spirit?
Wow. That's good. That's good.
And this is basically what John is talking about here. He's talking about glorifying God. And if we're glorifying God, then we can take our eyes off of problems. We can take our eyes off of situations. We can take our eyes off of disagreements, things that we don't like. Because if God is glorified, it always works out.
Amen.
And this is what Paul, that was Paul's crown. That was the joy that he had was his crown because the churches were in unity. And I truly believe that God, when he looks at the churches, he wants unity.
Yep.
As you said before, the body of Christ. When we start talking about the body of Christ, oh my God, that means that there are many parts to the body. So if I'm looking at you, my sister, and you're able to do something that I can't do, I should not be in disagreement. I should not be challenged. I should not be
discouraged.
Because you're able to do something that I can't do, that's your gift.
That's right.
That's the strength that God has given you. He's given me something else. He's given all of us something else, another gift. And we ought to celebrate that gift in God.
Amen.
We ought to celebrate that gift in God. If we are exhorting Christ, that means that we're all working for one common purpose.
Yes.
Not many common purposes, but one common purpose. Exhort. That means lifting up. Constantly lifting up. Lifting up. Lifting up above who we are. And when we stand together as a body of Christ and all parts working in harmony, then we become a whole. Let me say that again. When we stand together, when the churches stand together, and all parts of the body of Christ are working in unity, then we are a whole.
That's good. That's good.
God wants us He wants all of us. He doesn't want our mind over here and our body over here, or vice versa. God wants the whole. Now, you know what the word says, love God with our whole. It is a half. It is a part. With our whole. Mind, body, and spirit.
Amen.
Love the Lord. That's the word of God. I didn't say that. God said it. If you want to challenge that, challenge God. Don't challenge me. I'm only saying what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself, I'm getting more into, you know, more into in terms of expository preaching. Expository preaching. Expository preaching, meaning that I'm focusing on the historical, geographical, the language of what the word says, mm-hmm. and then try to apply it to today. That's what my focus has been on. Not talking topical. There are two different, not talking topical, talking the topic, only on the topic, but digging deep. And what was going on during that time when this was written?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I began to start to look in my own terminology, that might not be what was happening at that time.
Amen.
So, this is what's happening.
Amen.
Now, and if when we look at it, it applies to the church today. It applies to the church today. Any comments?
I just want to step back for a minute. When you talked about the gifts, I don't know what's wrong with us in the body of Christ. Well, I believe it grieves God's spirit when we try to be, our gift is better than your gift, and my gift is better than his gift and her gift, when all the gifts comes from God. All we are the carriers of that gift. And
Amen.
He imparts those gifts in us to utilize them for his glory.
Amen.
His glory and others' goods. People for people. For us as well
Amen.
As people. But
Amen.
I don't know
Amen.
What it is about us in the body that it, sometimes it's like we're crabs in a barrel. Who wants to be the star? And I thought it was only one star, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we need to, like this topic says, we need to love one another, exalt one another, if I'm using the right word, you know, encourage one another, love on each other, encourage and do what we need to do to get it done, to get the big picture done. And we can't do that if we're tugging and pulling on each other and who said this and who said what, and we start consuming ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't
Amen.
Want us to consume ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that what happens is I think that God wants us to keep our eyes focused on the cross.
Yes.
No matter what the situation is, you know, I don't think he wants us to figure it out. He just wants to keep our eyes focused on the cross.
That's good.
You know, because
yeah.
the cross is where everything took place.
Yeah.
You know, glorification, sanctification, all of that took place on the cross, on his death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So, keep our eyes focused in terms of what God did for us, then everything, the word even says, stand still.
Okay.
And know God. How often do we stand still and say, you know, okay, God, have your way.
Amen.
Okay, God, have your way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that oftentimes we try to do too much you know, and we get out of the alignment with God. Because then we begin to start to take on that human side, because we're always fighting from that spiritual and that and that carnal. We're always fighting with that. And we have to stay on one side, leaning on one side, always leaning on Christ. Always leaning on Christ. You know, and as the world would say, exalting Christ, exalting God. Not exalting the problems, but exalting God. No matter what we're going through, you know, exalting God. Keeping our eyes focused on the cross. And when we keep our eyes focused on the cross, then God comes in and does what he does best. He handles the situation.
Amen.
It might not be our own time, but God is always on time.
Yes, he is.
You know? If we read there, that's it. We go through that situation. Okay, God, I've given you time. Nothing's happened. I'm not seeing you working. That's not it. Patience. And the patience may seem like a long time to us, but it was a short time to God. I know in my life, as a testimony, there are things that have happened in my life, and I've waited. I call it foolish faith. I've waited. And it always worked out. It always worked out. And so that's been my testimony. Being patient to wait on God. I don't care what it looks like. God always comes to our rescue.
That's good. Let it have its perfect work.
Amen. Would you say this?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are running out of time. Are there any more comments? Any more comments? Any more comments? Amen. We're going to have prayer, and as a quote, we close out.
I just want to say that this word is a good word because it should provoke us to stand firm, like you said. Stand firm in the Lord brings joy to Christians. This
Amen.
Should provoke us, and it should help us to examine ourselves and continue to stand firm, regardless
Amen.
Of. Go beyond ourselves and see God, see Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Good word. Good
Amen.
Word.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I pray that those listening by internet have received something out of this also. That God spoke to you in one way or another. Amen.
Yes,
we all fall short. None of us is perfect.
Yes.
But
amen.
We try to be perfect. And we come together every Wednesday at 7 o'clock to encourage each other. Amen.
Amen.
If you
amen.
Have. If you have a prayer, something that you want to pray for, you know, just you can either do it on a chat line or you can come online yourself. Amen. But we just, you know, we have this an open venue to give you an opportunity to be able to be a part as we dialogue, you know, or we eat on the Word of God. And prayerfully, you know, something is said, you know, that is meaningful or, you know, that you're able to grasp. Amen. So there's a whole purpose of coming together as the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
We come together trying to lift up ourselves, but we lift up Jesus Christ, you know, who is the ultimate Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have prayer, and again, we're going to close out. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Just for bringing it, placing it on my heart. I pray, Lord, that those who are listening, Heavenly Father, receive something from you, receive the word from you, Father. Lord, we know that your word does not come back void. And so we, as we exalt you, Father, as we proclaim your word, Father, we just thank you for being who you are, the God who is ahead of our lives. And we have kept. Go through, Heavenly Father, that we continue to lift you up. We thank you for the listeners, Heavenly Father, even those that wanted to listen, Heavenly Father. We give all you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Love you. Love you. Every day.
I face the dawn.